Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the DJ Ritchie Show.
Well, well, well. Wow, wow, wow. Here we are, ready to crank this thing up. I am not playing with y'all tonight. I am ready to go. All kinds of stuff up on here. So I was hearing that sports report just now. You know, I am what a lot of people call me, Mr. Observant. And I noticed something several years ago with working with young people. I haven't been old my whole life. I've just acted old my whole life. But I noticed something that changed in our language probably 15 to 20 years ago. And I just heard it in the sports report now, because that sounded like a younger fella doing the sports.
That was our dearly beloved Bernie Bowles.
Okay. Bernie from the morning show?
Bernie from the morning show.
Oh, I love that guy. He's my favorite person that works here. I'm sorry. Other than myself. I love that, Bernie. Okay. But young people, millennials and below, say, let's say we're talking about a football game, and we're going to say, Sunday, get ready, it's the Panthers versus the Falcons. They say versus the Falcons as opposed to versus the Falcons. Older people say versus. It's actually versus, V-E-R-S-U-S. The VS, you know, abbreviation. But millennials and below say verse. And I don't know why. What caused that change? Now, I do know why people started taking the T sound out of the middle of a lot of words. You know, like mountain. You hear younger people say mountain. And it's wrong, completely wrong. So is verse, by the way. It's supposed to be versus. But if Bernie does it, that's fine. Because that is a saint of a man. Love him. But the T coming out of the middle of a word where it's supposed to be a T sound came from the television show Martin with Martin Lawrence. Because that's where Martin came from. And then the speech patterns changed according to that. People started saying Martin instead of Martin. Martin. Okay. Be that as it may. You got that.
I know.
People ask me all the time, how do you not just walk around with a headache thinking about all these piddling little things that don't matter? It's just what I do. But there's something personal going on in my life that I'm a little bit bummed by. Every Saturday in the summer, my wife, my beautiful, lovely, brilliant wife, Jody, and I go with our best friends, my little friend Jenny and her handsome husband Michael, and we go out on the lake on a boat. And oh, we are all over that Lake Norman. That's where we live, on the Lake Norman. So we're all over it. Just having a big time. Well, there's a big event happening on Lake Norman this weekend, and I would like to be a part of it because it seems like it would be tons of fun. And, you know, I'm working round the clock. I have my paid job that I do as a syndicated morning show in the mornings, and then I have the volunteer job that I do here at night. So I'm working constantly. So when I get a chance to go to something, to do something fun, I want to seize the opportunity, but I can't because I don't think I'm allowed to participate in this big event. I'm on their website now, and it looks like so much fun. It's called Black Boat Weekend. Now, it's not just for boats that are the color of black. It's just for black people. I'm assuming that they wouldn't let, you know, this vanilla face up in there, because it specifies Black Boat Weekend. And it says where culture meets the current, the ultimate tie-up. So they're going to have DJs and this big, huge circle with all the boats tied up together. And, I mean, it's going to be a whole weekend of fun and frivolity and dancing and carrying on. See, I don't find dancing to be that fun, but the carrying on, that's fun for me. I'm a carry-oner. But they don't let white people go, because there's nothing on their website that would indicate that white people are allowed. I mean, from the title on and all their pictures, I'm looking on their website and I see one white guy, but I think he may be there working on one of the boats, like as a mechanic or something. Doesn't look like he's there as a reveler. Oh, and there are a lot of pretty ladies that go to these things. This is the first one I think they've had on the Lake Norman. I think they've had them in Columbia on that wild Lake Murray. That is something there. That Lake Murray gets kind of out of control in Columbia. But I think if you want to be, if I wanted to tie up, if they would make an exception for me and let me in there as a white person, it would cost only $130, I believe, to get into the tie up. And they're only allowed so many, like 100, I think. Maybe 110. I mean, they got big sponsors, and I mean, it's Friday, they have a party, Saturday all day, and an after party, and a Sunday brunch. Wish they'd be a little more inclusive. Yeah, only 100 boats will make it into the legendary circle, they call it. And it says 71 already locked in, so. Now I would try to sneak in, you know, if I, you know, I could get a black friend to do the sign up and everything, and then I would just kind of tag along, kind of try to sneak in, but they'd probably kick me out. They'd see me in there.
You got a pretty good tan. I think you could get by for an hour.
No. I mean, I am LeBronzed, but that's a whole different thing. I mean, that's a shame. So I wonder if anybody's listening and knows the organizers of this event, it could possibly maybe ask if they make an exception for one white dude. I won't even bring my vanilla face friends either, so they don't have to worry about them. I just want to go. I mean, if I were to organize an event called White Boat Weekend, I'd let Lonnie come.
It's because you're a good person, man. You're a giver.
Yeah, I am. I just want people to have fun, that's all. But I'll find something else to do. Maybe next year. I'll get a petition. We'll get a bunch of white signatures on a petition that, you know, let us in. You can't keep the white people out of the boat weekend, because we're ready to bring it. But, I mean, how do they kick you off the lake? You know, if you just pulled up in there, I mean, how do they get you out of there? Like, if you just pulled your boat up in there and threw an anchor out right outside the circle here, I mean, what would they do? They going to come jump on your boat and beat the crap out of you and tell you to get out? I mean, I don't know how that would work. You know, it's kind of like those people who live in apartments in the outfield of Wrigley Field on the other side of the fence. they can always see free baseball. That's the kind of thing I'd be looking to do.
You think they would cut your anchor, maybe splash you?
No, I don't know. You can let this guy go. So I'm not trying to start anything. I'm not trying to do any controversy. I'm just saying this is something I do every weekend. I go out there. I want to be part of this. All right. Well, I got a lot of stuff coming up, and it's going to be very, very, very interesting and very telling. Okay. So hang on. That's coming up next.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Radio, podcasts, and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Yay, yay. All right. How are we? Hey, you can call if you want, 704-570-1110. But, I mean, don't call up in here if you're just trying to cause some trouble. We're having fun. Don't mess it up calling in here with some stupidness. Okay. Please. You can text us at that number too at 704-570-1110. Get your texts up in here on the WBT text line driven by Liberty Buick GMC. Thank you for that. Liberty Buick GMC. We appreciate it. Once again, and I don't know. I'm going to say once again, I'm going to say I don't know how this doesn't happen more often. WSOC Channel 9 obtained a video today of a fight between two commissioners that happened right before the Caldwell County Commission meeting Monday night. So in the video, you see Commissioners Jeff Branch and Donnie Potter at the dais, in front of a packed crowd. And I don't know which one's which, because I ain't from there. I'm from Detroit. But one of them, they're both sitting in their big office chairs, leather, and they're talking, and you can tell they're just what they're saying is aggressive speak. And then one kind of leans toward the other one, and then that one stands up and just starts fighting the guy while he's in his chair. And then they break it up. They've both apologized and so forth and so on. But people are shocked by this, obviously, because you're supposed to have better control and all of that. But I honestly don't see how it doesn't happen more often in U.S. America. Now, it happens in these foreign countries. You'll see places like South Korea. They'll be throwing chairs at each other in the in their Congress or whatever they call it. I mean, just brawls breaking out. It's even happened like that in Great Britain, I've seen sometimes. They start fist fighting. But as nasty as things get in our House of Representatives and in our Senate in D.C., you never see them get to that level. But how long will it be? The decorum is slipping. How long before? The closest I've ever seen of thinking that some two or more of our U.S. representatives were going to get into a fist fight were women. That Nancy Mace, my sweet majestic queen, Jazzy Crockett, member of the Congressional Congress House of Representatives. You know, she gets feisty with them in there, and then that crazy Marjorie Taylor Greene. Maybe even Lauren Boebert from time to time. But they have come way closer to fighting, physically fighting, than any of the men's that I've ever seen. And I don't like seeing women fight. You know, they'll post those videos on X and women fighting. I don't like women like street fighting each other, and I don't like watching women fight like UFC fighting, boxing, any of that stuff. I just don't like it. I never have. And then that's not because I'm a misogynist. You remember when people would call men chauvinists? You remember that? Chauvinist. That went away a long time ago. I'd like for that to come back. Misogynist, misogyny, the patriarchy, all of that. We don't need all those words. And you remember, it was always, you're a male chauvinist pig. You always had to have those three together. I haven't heard anybody call somebody that in a long time. But I don't like seeing women fight, because women are not supposed to be fighting. There, I said it. Women are not supposed to be fighting. And they know that. That's why your average woman will say stuff to somebody that they're mad at that a man wouldn't sometimes say. Because a man knows if he says that to another man, he's probably going to have to fight. Women don't automatically assume that. So they'll just, go after somebody, blah, 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 if they're mad. Because they don't take that into consideration. That, hey, this person might attack me. Now, it's getting more and more common for that to happen, but I don't like it. You know why? Because I don't like seeing women get beat up. And if women are fighting each other, then that means at least one of them is going to get beaten up. So I don't like it. And this story doesn't even tell what these county commissioners were fighting about. That's what I would like to know. That's the important thing. Who said, I want it word for word. He said, da 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 da. And then he said, da 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 da. And then next thing you know, he's in his face. And then, I want to hear all of that stuff. If you're going to post a story about two county commissioners getting into fisticuffs, then you can't, this is a journalism lesson here, you can't leave out the details of what the fight was about. We got to know. You know what we need to do? We need to put Breaking Brett Jensen on that story. He'll find out. He'll find out in two shakes of a lamb's tail. He will. He'll find out quicker than a cat can lick its butt. If he would ever trust me with his phone number, I would call him and tell him, hey, why don't you find out what they were fighting over? What caused all that? But yeah, they got it all over the WSOC TV website. One of the top things there. Watch them. We've highlighted it for you. That's what they said. The video was taken from the back of the room, but we've highlighted the part that you should focus on to see the fight. Okay, that part that's pretty clear right there with these two men going all over the podium, all over the stage, wrestling. That part. And in the video, it looked like nobody even knew what they were doing. Nobody was even paying attention. You know, then the police come in. Oh. Well, I'm not finished with this story. I'm not going to rest until I get to the bottom of what they were fighting about. And I will offer myself up available for counseling to mend this relationship between these two gentlemen. Now, I am not a professional counselor, but I might as well be. I'll sit these two down and we'll all become friends again. Although I'm not driving to Caldwell County. I got enough driving going on in my life. What is Caldwell County? That's Hickory, right? Isn't that Hickory?
Up that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll help all I can, but I'm not going to put too much effort into it. Because it was that reporter, that Dave Faraday, is that his name? And I think he does all the Hickory reporting and stuff. So that's why I'm saying it may have been around in there. I don't know, obviously you can tell I'm not breaking Brett Jensen with all the local news, you know, buttoned up and everything. All right, so it has happened once again. The Republicans are trying their best to snatch defeat out of the hands of victory. Or however that goes. They're trying to screw themselves up is what they're trying to do. And the rest of us at the same time. Republicans just do not know how to be on top and win. They don't get it. They don't know how. And it's so frustrating. So we'll tell you all about that coming up. Don't miss it.
The TJ Ritchie Show.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Identifying liberalism and mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3.
Hey, don't forget, still have those America's Coolest Conservative t-shirts for sale. Across the front it says America's Coolest Conservative. That's where you can wear it like you're America's Coolest Conservative. My logo's on the back of it up at the top. My name is, because I don't want my name splashed on the front of it. I want people to think you're America's Coolest Conservative. So go to tjritchie.com, RITCHIE.com. And there's a banner right there on the front. You can order right there. But I think that a lot of people are scared to wear that. I really do, which is sad. Because it's not like you're saying America's coolest murderer or America's coolest bank robber. America's coolest deadbeat. None of that. America's coolest absentee father skipping out on his child support. It just says the word conservative. And I think, you know, still, even after we know that the majority of voters in this country right now are all, you know, in favor of, at least for the moment, conservative ideals, people are still in that mindset of, I like listening to your show. I feel the same way you do. Don't whisper it. Shout it. Be proud. But, I mean, if you're scared, say you're scared. I won't bother you about it anymore. If you're not scared, then order it and then send me a picture of you wearing it. Otherwise, you know. Okay, so here's what's going on. Republicans are on top right now. We've got the momentum. Democrats are scratching and clawing and trying to get their heads above water with the American people. And the American people are sick of Democrats, politicians. They are sick and tired of these radical commucrats that are in charge of the Democrat Party. So while we've got them, of course, the best thing we can do is make a lot of them mad and go back on a promise that was made. That's what's happening because President Trump has said in the campaign, he even said again last week that he's not, you know, after he had kind of hinted at making special special arrangements or special exceptions for illegal aliens who are working in the food industry and on the farms. And he said he wasn't talking about that. Now, Representative Maria Elvira Salazar, Republican from Florida, and Veronica Escobar, Democrat of Texas, have introduced legislation with a bunch of other GOP signing on to it, sounding exactly like Democrats. It's called the Dignity Act that they've come up with. Salazar said, the Dignity Act of 2025 is a revolutionary bill that offers the solution to our immigration crisis. Secure the border, stop illegal immigration, and provide an earned opportunity for long-term immigrants to stay here and work. No amnesty, no handouts, no citizenship, just accountability and a path to stability for our economy and our future. So close down the border that was open that allowed a lot of these people in. Yeah, and so now you reward them. You reward them for coming into the country illegally. Because, you know, she's saying, well, you got to have been here for 5 years. And, you know, all of these things to make it seem like it's not amnesty, but it is a path to amnesty. Absolutely. And I even heard that there are provisions in here that will, you know, new illegal aliens coming in, will provide them with counseling and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So what always gets me is here we are. We're winning. We won and we're winning. And we have the slimmest majorities in the House and the Senate. I mean, there was another bill that came through that Vice President Vance had to come in and break the tie for. So just every little thing we can get done is not as big as it could get done if we had bigger majorities. But we don't have any room to be playing around. So now when you put this bill out here and you brag as a Republican, you go bragging about it being a bipartisan bill, that just blows my mind. Why would we do anything right now bipartisan? We have clearly established to a huge number of Americans that haven't seen it before that the Democrats are the problem. The Democrats in D.C. are the problems. They are backwards for most American citizens doing what they do to survive and have their families and the security of being an American. The Democrats have been established. They've been outed. Why would we throw them a lifeline? And I got news for you. It's not, there's never a bipartisan anything. Because the Democrats don't come up off of what they're thinking and believing. Anytime there's a bipartisan bill, it's because the Republicans have moved over to the side of the Democrats to give them some of the stuff that they want. Man. We are barely holding on to this lead that we have in the minds, the hearts and minds of the people. And now you're going to go and come up with some, and then call it the Dignity Act. Sounds just like something Obama would come up with. Because then what do? You go, all right, well, what laws now do we get to pick and choose whether or not we enforce it? As, you know, a contributor to society, because they always say that. These people have been here working, contributing to society and all that. I've been working, contributing to society since 1985 when I got my first job. And I paid a lot in taxes. So what law do I get to break and get a get out of jail free card? Do we just get one law? Even if we do, what's mine going to be? Does it have to be a federal law, like, you know, immigration violation? Or could it be a state law or, you know, a city ordinance or something like that? What do we get to break a law? How does that work? Well, maybe when they start debating this bill, they'll add some of that in there and make it more clear. That, you know, maybe each individual American who's considered contributing to society, maybe everybody gets to pick their own law that they want to break. You know, like they have a coupon. I'm gonna break the bank robbery law. I'm gonna rob a bank, and then I get a get out of jail free card because I'm contributing to society, and I've been here a lot longer than 5 years. It's so mind-boggling to me. And I'm not a smart man. But does anybody ever just ask, hey, all right, you're complaining, you're protesting, all that. The people that they have detained, are they in the country legally or are they in the country illegally? Simple question. And then go from there. But we live in an upside down world, and thank God the Republicans, a lot of them, are joining in with the Democrats. So sharp. Thank you. And that's a Florida representative too, getting in on that. Oh, yeah. Well, Big Sleepy Hakeem Jeffries will rest good tonight, even without taking his sleep gummies, because he's got a little victory going on there. I just don't know. All right, well, coming up next, President Obama. I guess he appeared on that terrible podcast of his wife's and said something that is a buzz all over the media right now. So we'll play you that. And then a little bit of a walk down Nostalgia Boulevard for play you one of the most staunch critics of President Obama's for years and years. So all that coming up.
It's TJ Ritchie. Late, live, and local. It's the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
All right. It has not been a good week for President Obama. He came out, I guess it was earlier in the week, and he told Democrats at some event, he was speaking and saying Democrats need to stop navel gazing and get up and do something. And, you know, basically saying that they were all messed up. You know, the great Obama. And people didn't like that. It didn't go over very well because, you know what? The people in the Democrat Party now that are the movers and the shakers, a lot of them don't know anything about Obama. They were young, too young to know what was happening when he was president. So he's just like now this grouchy old unk coming in there yelling at him. You're not doing it right. You need to do it like this. Back in my day. So he was on that weird, weird podcast with Michelle and her brother, I think. I know she does a podcast with her brother. I think that's the podcast they were on. And he just, it sounds like he's just like talking out of his head. And then she's talking over him and trying to finish his sentences. And it's just, they don't really come across as a loving couple, you know? So, this is the weird thing that President Obama said when he was talking to his wife about something that young men need.
That's one of the things that I think a lot of times boys need is not just exposure to one guy.
Mm-hmm. One dad.
No matter how good the dad is.
Dad is. He can't be everything.
He can't be everything.
All right, hold on a second. This, if you're not familiar with this, this is part of It Takes a Village. Remember that Hillary book? It Takes a Village, right? A one dad and a one mom can't raise a child properly. It takes all of these other people coming in, neighbors, friends, come help raise. You'll hear Democrats sometimes say, these are all of our children. All these children, they're all our children. No, they're not. They're not. These are my children. I don't need anybody coming in and being another dad to my children. It doesn't take a village. It takes two parents. That's what it takes. Okay. But by the way, that's Marxism wrapped up in a nice little package for you. All right, here they go.
That boy may need somebody to give give the boy some perspective on the dad.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You might as well stay on the pause button there, Isaac. I didn't know I was going to be stopping it this much. But give the boy some perspective on the dad, right? So let him know that dad's not right all the time. Let him know that dad's not always doing the right thing. You see, the main goal of the Marxist is to break apart the family unit any way they can. I know I harp on that a lot, but that is their biggest goal. Break apart the family unit and break apart churches. Well, Christian churches. Okay, go ahead.
Things I learned as a guy was I had a gay professor in college at a time when openly gay folks still weren't out of line. Who became one of my favorite professors and was a great guy and would call me out when I started saying stuff that was ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
You need that to show empathy and kindness. And by the way, you need that person in your friend group so that if you then have a boy who's gay or non-binary or what have you, they have somebody that they can go, okay, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I am just dazzled by the brilliance of President Barack Obama. I mean, they will just stoop to anything. All right, so I'm not saying that you shouldn't have or shouldn't allow gay people into your life as friends or loved ones or whatever. But you don't go, hey, I need a gay guy today. Obama said I need to have me a gay guy. I can't learn anything from my dad as much as I can learn from a gay guy. What an idiot. That's Michelle. That's my impression of her. All right, so there is a man named Pastor David Manning, and he is from Harlem. And back when Barack Obama was running against Hillary Clinton, David Manning was a fan of the Clintons, and he did not like Obama. And he went on a 4-year, still, I think, going on tirades about Obama. Let's see if we have time to get into this really quickly. But he always said that Obama was gay himself and that he had a boyfriend named Larry Sinclair.
Where's Larry Sinclair when we need him? Plus, he's an avowed homosexual. Fell in love with Larry Sinclair. They had a steamy love affair. Obama and Larry Sinclair had a steaming love affair. Obama and Larry Sinclair had a steamy love affair. Larry looked into the eyes of Obama, the Mac Daddy, and they put a spell on Obama, the Mac Daddy. Obama said to Larry, "Oh, you're just my style and my kind. Oh, you look like just what I want, my man, woman, and half whatever look to look like."
So, yeah, that was then. And if you want to find Pastor David Manning, he is on the YouTubes and all over social media now. He's kind of made a comeback over the past few weeks and so. So I don't know. None of that was ever proven that Pastor Manning was talking about. But he accused him of it. Gotta report it. TJ on the news coming up next.
More of the TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Live from the big city of Charlotte, North Carolina, it's TJ on the news.
I can't hear myself. I can't hear myself. Is everything seems like it's at a different volume.
It is.
Is that because it's AM? I've never worked on an AM station before, so I don't know the difference in the sound of it. Is it because it's mono that it all sounds like it's at a different volume, something like that?
I think so.
I ain't never worked in an old AM station. All right, well, we need to do something about that. Tell them to put it on stereo.
Got it.
Mike, I'm talking to you. Program director. Marsha, you. I'm just kidding. I'm not talking to you, Marsha. just joshing you. All right, so stories from around the world. Lonnie Ray is here. Young Isaac, and I guess we're ready for the lead story. This is sad. This is terrible. There's a type of flesh-eating bacteria that's killed 4 people in Florida so far this year. State's health department. Did I say health department? I meant to say the state's health department. Confirmed the deaths in a notice posted on the Florida Health website. A total of 11 people have contracted the bacteria in 2025. It's called Vibrio vulnificus. Vibrio vulnificus. Now, I can pronounce it because I'm a doctor, obviously. But it's just it's a bacteria that is, can be flesh-eating and all of that. They say that a potential source is of the infection. Raw shellfish, especially oysters, and it gets into open wounds from the water, if the water is contaminated. So that's bad. No word yet on how the Democrats caused this, but we know they're behind it some way or another. They have to be. But seriously, I feel sorry for those people. All right, next story. Every time I look at you, I go blind. Every time I... All right, so another story from Florida, this one Key West, a woman who stopped at an intersection to allow a chicken to cross the road.
What?
Yeah. It had to get to the other side. She allegedly attacked another driver with bear mace. Because while she was stopped letting the chicken cross the road, this other driver went speeding around her, allegedly, and then just ran smack over it and killed the chicken.
Wow.
According to an arrest report obtained by Law and Crime, 38-year-old Cynthia Sosa stopped at an intersection, quote, to let the chicken cross the road, end quote, when another driver began honking at her and later passed her, running over the chicken. So Sosa reportedly pursued the driver out of frustration about the chicken's death, caught up with her, stopped her, and then Sosa allegedly blocked the road in front of the victim's vehicle, got out of her car, and attempted to open the door. Well, they began fighting over the door, and then Cynthia wanted to teach her a lesson, so she pulled out her bear mace and sprayed it into the vehicle, spraying the victim directly in the face while she was seated inside.
Willing to hurt somebody for a chicken?
Mm-hmm. How delicious would the irony be if the woman with the bear spray had an empty Popeyes bag in her car that she had just eaten? I mean, come on.
She has to be a militant vegetarian.
I doubt it. She's just one of those, loves animals more than humans. But it says she stopped at an intersection. So was she supposed to be stopped, or did she slam on her brakes to stop when she wasn't supposed to stop, which is dangerous, to let a chicken cross the road? I don't know. It all seems crazy to me, but that bear mace seems like it's, nothing to mess around with.
That's overkill.
Mm. All right, next story.
I remember when I lost my mind.
Members of the Bangor Police and Fire Department, as well as crisis negotiators, were on the scene of an incident in Wednesday morning. Stephen Nason, 39, at around 4 in the morning, according to the reports, climbed up onto somebody's roof in the house, the homeowner and her boyfriend, and they heard somebody on the roof, and the boyfriend went out there and asked him what he was doing, and he said, I've got drugs hidden in the chimney. I'm trying to get them out. So they call the police. Police come. There's a long standoff. So it started to get hot. It was in the 80s, on up in the morning, like at 11. And this is the brilliant idea they had. They wanted to get him some water. And so they had the fire department out there with their extension ladder, and it's got a basket on it. Well, they had water in that basket they were sending out to him, but they forgot something, that the end of that ladder had a big axe hanging on it. So he jumps out off the roof into the basket, gets the water, grabs the axe, and starts chopping holes in those people, that the woman's roof.
Wow.
Trying to get to his drugs. And then I think it was the fire chief goes, well, obviously we didn't plan for that to happen, but like, no, really? Nobody thought the whole time that thing was going up, because it doesn't go up that fast. Nobody thought and said, hey, wait a minute. There's an axe on the end of that thing, and this guy's not in his right mind. Maybe we shouldn't offer him a sharp object. No.
Hey, Lonnie.
It was like, when he got it, he goes, oh, wait a minute. He got the axe. We didn't even think about that.
Just as it's going, you don't think he'll grab that axe, do you?
Nah. Nah. He just wants the water. Oh, man. And finally. Cops in Boise, Idaho. You know, that's how you say it. Boise, not Boise. Y'all know that? Y'all know that. You don't know.
No idea.
Boise. They said that there's a serial butt slapper on the loose. He's been going around on a dirt bike, smacking and grabbing women's butts as he rides by. Several women have filed reports over the past month. All of the butt slaps occurred between June 18th and July 3rd. They described him as a white male in dark clothing, often all black. Also wears gloves and a ski mask. Cops think it's either a skull mask from Call of Duty or a Venom mask from Spider-Man. A security camera caught a shot of him, but his face is covered and it's too blurry to see much. They're hoping somebody recognizes him and calls it in. So they have no clue who this guy is.
Spider-Man out there slapping butts? Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about superheroes and all. And that's one of the reasons I call myself America's coolest conservative. because I'm guarantee you every other conservative host on this station knows about Spider-Man and superhero stuff. I bet you they do. And Lord of the Rings and those types of
The Hobbit.
Yeah. But they're, you know, they're on the lookout for him. This is a, you know, wanted man.
Yeah. Public enemy number one.
Yep. I mean, there's only so many butts you can slap before something has to happen. You
but
know?
What is he getting out of that? That's the thing. What's going through his mind? Is he getting, is that some sort of a fetish kind of thing for him? Or is he just a prankster and he's laughing?
Could be adrenaline junkie, you know, riding a motorcycle, slapping butts, you know.
You think he says good game after each slap?
But I wish that somebody would figure out a way to, you know, to bait him. So when he comes around to slap somebody's butt, they turn on him and figure out a way to clothesline him off of that motorcycle. That's what they need to do.
You're going to have to get one of those Brazilian butt lifts you were talking about and go catch him for us.
But, I mean, he's actually accosting women.
Yeah.
You know? He needs a severe beatdown. You know? Somehow.
Yeah.
I guess he's riding around with no license plate. Nobody's reported his license plate. It's a dirt bike, but I don't know. That should be a giveaway right there. Hey, this guy's riding around on a dirt bike with no license plate. I bet he's the butt slapper.
Yeah.
The serial butt slapper.
Watch your butts.
You're going to have to get the FBI on that. You can't be having that, especially in Boise, Idaho. Things like that don't happen in Boise.
Such a strange place to slap butts at, you know?
Yeah, in Idaho in general, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. They like big old taters.
I was going to say French fries, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, and that's it for TJ on the news.
The TJ Ritchie Show. Bringing the heat.
Oh, hot, hot, hot.
Whatever that means. This is the TJ Ritchie Show. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Hey. Get on the phone. Let us hear from you, neighbors. Come on now. Get that old phone a ringing. 704-570-1110. That's the number. Also, if you want to text, you get on the texting to the WBT text line driven by Liberty Buick GMC. It's the same number. You know what it is. You know what it is. Okay. I don't know because I've only been on here. Have I even been on 2 months? I don't think so. I think we're creeping up on that, but I don't think it's been two whole months. So a lot of you 11 listeners may not know that I am I am an expert when it comes to relationships. I also know everything there is to know about women, and I know that because I pay attention to women and I want to help women be happy. Men want women to be happy. So that's why I will say things from time to time that women don't like, but it comes with a good heart and good intentions. And if you would take heed to what I say, then you would find yourself living a much happier life. Okay. So there is a young stay-at-home mom who has been part of this this article about how husbands are helping around the house more than ever. But the problem is that it's not enough. Listen, so why does it feel like the weight of the world rests on the mother's shoulders when it comes to parenting and household tasks? A lot of the answers rest in three words: the mental load. Even when men are picking up the slack and significantly pitching in, the women in their lives continue to be the ones managing projects, keeping track of information, and making sure every ball stays in the air. Many times when a mom voices her complete exhaustion and feeling of overwhelming feelings, her husband responds with, just tell me what needs to be done. Just ask for help. I'm not a mind reader. And therein lies the heart of the problem. This week on Instagram, one of our favorite followers, Working Mom, Paige, I guess is her name, explains why, quote, just ask for help, end quote, and just tell me what you need, end quote, are not what default parents and mood mental load carriers need to be hearing. Quote, I just had a man comment on one of my videos, and he said, I don't know why women don't ask for help when they're burnt out from the mental load. It's not that hard. Just ask for help. We're not mind readers. We can't help you unless you ask us for help. Her response puts so much into words about what moms feel. Okay, now listen, this is it. This is the meat of it here. I honestly find it so funny because men say this all the time. But I wonder, did they have to ask their wife to make dinner for the kids? Did they have to ask her to fold the laundry and then remind her when she forgot? Did they have to ask her to drop the kids off at school and pick them up and make sure they had lunches and snacks packed? Did they have to ask her to plan the birthday party and make sure the kids had gifts? Did they have to ask her to take them to the dentist appointment or the doctor's appointment and fill out all the forms? Did they have to ask her to sign up for summer camp, swim lessons, or baseball, whatever it might be? Nope. They did not ask their wives to do these things. Okay, so this is a stay-at-home mom, okay? And she admits that men are doing more to help women in the house. They're doing more than they ever have. And I'm not saying men don't need to be helping around the house. They do. But listen, it's called a division of labor in the home. So it's not enough that he's doing more and helping whenever you need it. She didn't complain one time saying that he didn't do any of the stuff that would help her lighten the mental load. It's just that she has to ask for it. That's the sin. Okay? That is the martyrdom that a lot of women run around with because, you know, feminism has been a terrible, terrible thing. And one thing that feminism has done, even with women who don't consider themselves to be feminists, it's made all women feel like that the men that love them so much are taking advantage of them, that somehow their husbands are the enemy. Their husbands are the ones that are basically forcing them to do all of this work, and they don't do a thing. So let's turn the tables here for a second. Does he ever need your help driving into the office and being on business calls the whole time he's on his way in? Does he have to have your help to do a presentation at work? Does he have to ask for your help while he's at work to do this or that or the other that's making a living for you to be blessed enough to be staying home with your children and being there doing those things for them so that some other person isn't doing those things for them? So their mother gets to bond with them and you are there for that relationship. Does he gripe about you not helping him when he's off doing his part to make sure that the kids are in as stable of a home as possible? No, I doubt it. And the other thing is that men are not built the same way women are. Sure. Men will do anything you ask them to. If he's a good husband, he's a good man, and it's going to make you happy, he will do it, especially if you are kind and sweet to him and treat him like you love him and like he's special to you. He'll walk through a forest fire with gasoline underwear on to get you some ice cream if you want it. If you're not nice and you're going to do nothing but gripe at him all the time, then he may be a little bit apprehensive to go do certain things. He looks at it like, well, why bother? you know? And you know the things that he likes. Let's say there's some interest of his. You know, what makes him, what lightens the mental load of a husband? Anybody want to take a guess at that? Anybody, any of the 11 listeners? Yeah. It lightens the mental load on the husband for his wife to truly accept him and love him. Embrace him. Be affectionate toward him. And my guess is that you know he likes all those things and you know that would help him, but does he have to ask you for marital engagement, if you know what I'm saying? Does he have to ask you for affection? Does he have to ask you to do certain things that he really likes when it comes to that part of your marriage? You know it helps him. You know he enjoys it. You know it makes him better as a father and a husband to be happy and content. Do you do those things without his having to ask? All right, so we got some more on this because I'm trying to solve the divorce crisis in America right here tonight, and I think I'm going to be able to do it. Okay? So, if you have an opinion of what I've said so far, whether you agree with me or you're wrong, you can call in. Please. I'd love to talk to you. So, hang on.
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Ritchie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
So, we're talking about this woman who is she's a young stay-at-home mom, and she's complaining, and she gets a lot of these complaints from other women, and they say that, sure, their husbands will help them when they need it. They've got the mental load that they're carrying. Their husbands will help them when they need it, but why should you have to ask the husband to help you? He sees that you need help. He knows what needs to be done. Why do I have to ask? First of all, the main reason is because men and women are different. Oh, did he say that? Did he really say that? Yes, men and women are different. We think differently. We respond differently. We have different styles of brain matter that fire on different synapses in different ways. A man really does mean, if you will say what you want, I will do it. Tell me what you want. So what difference does it make if it's getting done? Like I said earlier, it's not like she said in any of this that he's not doing it. It's just like, you know how sometimes women, they'll get a gift from their husband or their boyfriend, and it'll be a gift that they absolutely love. But if they find out that their husband went and bought the gift the day before he gave it to her, some women take away points from that. Well, he just went and got it last minute. But you love it. What does it matter when he bought it? Because to a woman, it carries more weight if you've been thinking about it and pondering it and planning it. Now, so a man could be thinking the whole time, yeah, I know that she mentioned one time that she wanted, you know, this type of leather jacket. So I know they have them at Belk, and I'm going to run by there and pick it up on my way home the day before her birthday. It's a big deal. So herein lies the problem. Men and women are different. Women are programmed by society to think that a man is always trying to get over on them, even the man that they're supposed to love more than anything on the face of the earth and that loves them more than anything on the face of the earth. He's still trying to get it over on you. Women keep score too often in a marriage. He got to do this, so I'm going to go do da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, he went to Walmart today, and he was gone for 30 minutes. So when he gets back, I'm leaving him with the kids, and I'm going to the pool for 3 hours, or whatever. But you have to understand, men are bombarded with people their entire lives telling them, listen, you have to understand women. You have to see where she's coming from. You have to understand that she's different and she looks at things differently than you do. And you're not supposed to do this and you're not supposed to do that. If you do this, it's going to make her unhappy and you don't want her to be unhappy. So you want to do. So men are constantly hit over the head with ways that they're supposed to try to understand women and the plight of being a woman. Women aren't taught anything like that about understanding where a man's coming from, understanding what types of problems or what types of stresses or what types of situations that men may be in that she could do something to make him feel better or to give him a boost and, you know, whatever. And men aren't going to sit around and tell you. That's another difference. Men aren't going to sit around and say, I'm just having a blah day. The guy in the cubicle next to me, he kept talking really loudly while I was on a business call and it aggravated me. And then I went and the lunch that I took today, somebody had taken half of it out of the fridge and I was just bummed all day. I'm just down. I don't know what I'm going to do. He's not going to do that. He's going to hide most of the time what's bothering him from you because he doesn't want to bother you with it. So men aren't just going to unload their feelings all of the time. So that would make sense to me that women should be taking more time to learn about what's really going on in a man's head. But I got news for you. It's pretty simple. And that's the part that I wish women would understand just how simple men are, and you would be so much happier. If you've got a good man, I'm not talking about a trashy, good-for-nothing cheat and liar and all of that. I'm talking about a good man, a man that you married, and you still love him, and you loved him when you got married, and you have a good relationship with him, and he loves you. The worst thing you can be to him is unhappy. He lives to make sure that you are happy. And when you're not, he feels like he's failed. And he also feels frustrated, like no matter what I do, she's just not happy. And then it starts to come in as like, is she just not happy with me? Am I the problem? But in this society we live in now where everybody's trying to rip apart the family unit, it's he needs to be doing that. He needs to be doing this. He needs to be doing that. He doesn't do this. I had to ask him to help me, but I had to ask him if he would give the kids a bath last night so I could take a little break. Well, did he do it? Yeah, he did it. Did he complain about it? Did he throw a fit or anything? No, he did it. They had a great time. Well, what's the problem? I had to ask him. Just realize that he has a main goal in life, and that's to satisfy you and make you happy. don't create things to be unhappy about when it comes to him. They want, men want you to be happy. They want you to be, show affection to them, and they want to know that you respect them and that you think that he is your knight in shining armor. That's it. And if your situation's different, then you don't have the type of man I'm talking about, then I'm not talking about you. I'm saying, on average, that's the way marriages work. So if you're a young single woman, or if you know a young single woman, those are very important lessons that you can learn, and you'll be a lot happier. All right. We got more coming up.
The DJ Richie Show. Identifying liberalism and mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Richie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
I'm gonna say what's up to my brother Todd. My brother Todd lives in Magnolia, Arkansas, and he listens to the podcast of this show every day. But he's always like, I'll do it at night. He listens to the show in the morning on the podcast. And so, hey, Todd, may I call you Todd?
Got to check and see if he listens to the end.
He does. I mean, he's a lot older than I am, but he's always idolized me.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Sure does. It does. This is something funny that happened, right before I left the house to come to the volunteer job tonight. My wife and I, as I was saying last night, we don't get to see each other as much anymore, since I do a paid job in the mornings for I do a syndicated radio show in the morning, and then I do my volunteer job at night here. And so tonight when I was, or this afternoon when I was getting ready to come in, she was sitting in the kitchen with me while I was eating my 81-year-old person dinner at 4:30. And so then I had to go get ready, brushing my teeth and that sort of thing. I said, all right, come keep talking. Just go with me. And so she was standing behind me in the bathroom, and I had told her, you know, I've been on the PhD weight loss thing for a week. And the first week I lost like 5 point something, almost 6 pounds. And when I came in that day, she said, well, have you lost any weight? And I said, no, not yet. I haven't. And I'm going to keep lying to her until she just says, you're lying. I can tell. So she didn't say anything else about it. And so I was brushing my teeth. She was standing behind me, and I shaved my head and everything. So, I said, well, I know they said that I haven't lost any weight yet, but I think I can kind of see a little bit in my face. And she goes, well, I was going to say I can kind of tell too, but it's not in your face. It's, it looks like you've lost a little bit of weight in the back of your neck. I said, the back of my neck. Did I have a pack of hot dogs in the back of my neck? Did I have any? She goes, well, I know you always call it that, but no, not really. But I could tell looking at you right now that it looks like you've lost some in the back of your neck. I said, do I have a pack of hot dogs back there in the back of my neck? You see the big dudes with the hot dogs.
Not anymore.
Yeah. I did last week. Yeah, and when I'm doing their ads and everything, I don't know if they wanted me to say, I said something the other night, I don't know if that got flagged or not, that the sponsor didn't want me to say I've lost 6 pounds, but that's like throwing a deck chair off the Titanic. You know, I got a long way to go. All right, here comes Lonnie. Did you just hear? Were you listening in the other room? Okay. Do I have a hot dog, pack of hot dogs in the back of my neck?
No, but I feel like I got a pack of hot dogs on the back of my neck.
But so, you got long hair though, so
yeah. So it's hiding right. It. But I'm pretty sure if I shave it off, man, it's not gonna look too good. It's gonna look more like brats.
I've just never been told that, you know, any of the time I've ever lost weight with somebody say, yeah, I can tell in the back of your neck. Did I have it last week? Did I have a hot pack of hot dogs?
No, man.
Okay. Why is she saying that?
Well, see, it's good, man. I mean, the weight loss thing is good. You just don't want to end up with the Star Jones head, like with the little body and the big head.
Yeah. Looking Al like Sharpton. Al Sharpton. Looked like Quagmire on Family Guy.
Oh, man.
Big old head, little body. I don't know. I'd take that, though, over being fat. I would take that. Because, you know, I got a little head anyway, so maybe that's the thing. That's why the pack of hot dogs in the back of my neck stood out. Because I got a little peanut head with a big pack of hot dogs. That can't look good. Because, you know, you don't really look at the back of your neck that much. Now I'm all paranoid and gave me a duplex. I mean a complex.
You had a duplex on the back of your neck, now you got a complex about it.
Mm-hmm. She better be careful.
Jazzy wouldn't have said that.
No. She wouldn't. My sweet Jazzy Crockett.
Jazzy sure would have embraced it.
Yeah, man. She'd have been like, I want to look at your pack of hot dogs while you're cooking some hot dogs for me. Get in the kitchen. I just think she'd be really bossy as a partner. You know, if you live with Jazzy, she'd be bossy.
You got to take the pros with the cons sometimes.
No, there is no pro with living with a bossy person. Can't take that. I don't like it. I don't like it. All right. So tomorrow will be what we like to call Freaky Friday. So you better be ready for that. You know what's going to happen? We're going to get freaky. That's what's going to happen. Because it'll be a Freaky Friday. So don't come in here trying not to be freaky. Because we're going to be. People are still talking about this PBS and NPR defunding, which I think is great. But part of that was defunding Sesame Street being broadcast. We were paying for it to be broadcast in these Middle East countries, like Afghanistan and places like that. And my sweet, majestic queen, Jazzy Crockett, who is a member of the Congressional Congress in the House of Representatives, she said that the reason that needs to be funded and that needed to be that policy needed to stay is because when Sesame Street airs over there in those countries in the Middle East that are hostile to Americans, that this would teach them not to be hostile to Americans. If they watch Sesame Street, then they would then see that America is not bad, that we're actually good and they don't need to be attacking us or anything like that. So if they're kids over there are watching Elmo, then they're going to grow up loving America. I never thought of it that way. But if my sweet Jazzy says it, then it must be right. Gotta be. I mean, people were, you know, making fun of her for being dumb and all of that. That just shows how dumb they are, you know, because they can't see the brilliance of her simplicity. I can't. You know why? Because she's my Jazzy. That's why. And they're jealous. that makes perfect sense. You have all of these hostile, anti-American cultures teaching their kids as tiny as kindergarten to hate America and to hate Israel and the Jews and all of that. But once they see Sesame Street, they see Big Bird and the Count coming on there, they're like, y'all are all wrong. America's great. We love America. That's real talk is what that is, ladies and gentlemen. That's real talk. Hey, thanks to Liberty Buick GMC for the text line. We've enjoyed getting all those texts tonight on the WBT text line, 704-570-1110. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. Mark Levin is up next. God loves you. Ain't nothing you can do about it.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.